Henrietta Who? Written by Catherine Aird and read by Robin Bailey.
Chapter 1. Harry Ford was a postman. He was a postman of a vintage that is fast disappearing. That's to say, he still did his delivery round on a bicycle. The little red vans had reached the large village of Down Martin, but his own round of the smaller ones, like Larking and Belling St. Peter, was just as quick on two wheels as on four. And he, for one, wasn't sorry. Gave you time to think, did a bicycle, even if it was a bit chilly at 6 o'clock of a dank morning in March. He was well muffled up against the cold, though, and he didn't mind the half dark. Besides, there were compensations. Another few weeks and he'd be abroad in that glorious early morning light that did something for the soul. He braked gently as he coasted round the corner into Larking. He knew exactly where to brake on this road. In fact, there wasn't much of the village he didn't know after delivering its mail all these years. An outsider would have said Larking was typical of 1,000 other villages. And as it happened, this was true, though the people of Larking wouldn't have liked it. It had all the appurtenances of a normal village and the usual complement of important and self-important people. Two different groups. Spiritual leadership was provided by the Reverend Edward Bouverie Mayton. He lived at the rectory on the green by the church, one diocesan leaflet, three appeals, a missionary newsletter, the quarterly report of the Additional Curates Society, and an interesting letter from the Calshire Historical Association. Secular leadership came from James Augustus Heber Hibbs, Esquire, at the Hall. An assortment of bills, two closely typed pages of good advice from his stockbroker, a wine list, a picture postcard from his cousin Maud, and a letter from Scotland about a grouse moor. Harry Ford, postman, was not deceived. He knew as well as anyone else that real power, as opposed to leadership, was vested behind the counter at the post office come general store in the vast person of Mrs. Ricks, one seed catalogue. Mrs. Ricks rarely committed herself to paper. A sharp eye and a sharper tongue made her a force to be reckoned with. Larking shared a branch of the Women's Institute with the neighbouring hamlet of Belling St. Peter. Mrs. Hibbs was president, and a doctor with a cluster of small communities round about. And everyone thought they knew everything about everyone else, in which they were very mistaken. Harry Ford looked at the post office clock, dimly visible through the uncurtained window, though only from habit. He'd done the round so often that he didn't need a clock to know that, saving Christmas and a general election, he would finish his Larking delivery at 7:45 in the furthest farmhouse where, letters or not, he would fetch up in the kitchen with a cup of scalding tea. Only it didn't work out that way this morning. Forever afterwards, he was thankful that he'd been on his bicycle and not in a little red van. If he'd been in a van, as he frequently reiterated in the days that followed, he couldn't possibly have avoided the huddled figure that was lying in the road. "Right on the corner at the far end of the village," he said breathlessly into the telephone after he'd taken one quick look and pedalled furiously back to the telephone kiosk outside the post office. "Lying in the road. Do come quickly," he implored the man at the ambulance station. "If anything else comes round the bend, they won't be able to avoid her either." "Where exactly?" demanded the voice at the other end. Larking was deep in rural Calshire, and the whole of that part of the country was an intricate network of minor roads, and it wasn't really light yet. "Through Larking village proper," said Ford, "and out on the other road to Belling St. Peter."
"The other road?"
countered the man on the telephone, who'd been caught out by bad directions before. "Not the main road to Belling, the back road. Come to Larking post office, then fork left, and she's about 1/4 mile down the road on the bad bend."
"Right you are. You get back to her, then."
The duty man on the Beerbury ambulance station switchboard flipped a lever which connected him with the crew room.
"Emergency just come in, Fred. Back or beyond, I'm afraid. Woman lying in the road."
"Dead?"
"Caller didn't say she was alive," he said reasonably, "and he didn't mention injuries. Just that she was lying in the road."
"Dead, then,"
said the experienced Fred.
"Or drunk,"
said the man in charge, who'd been at the game even longer. She wasn't drunk.